Want to just welcome each of you, greet you as both two churches. I have never, I think, spoken to two churches at the same time. So there's the first, huh? Yeah. Asylum Baptist and Christian Church. That is neat. My wife, Janie's right here. She and I are glad to be with you. We're actually neighbors. We live 6 miles from here. If you know anything about the big area of Lacombe, we live over on People's Drive. So real close by. And but it is. One of you mentioned how beautiful a day it is. And I think it was you, Leon. And it is actually a marvelous day, the day that the Lord has made for us. And it could be a day like today that he's coming back. And that's going to be an exciting thing as well. And so I was asked to preach. He gave me a text of Luke chapter 6. And so we'll be looking at verses 20 through 26 there. But before we do, just wanted to kind of ask you a question. I always like to start off with a question, and then you can decide if you like it or not, I guess. But are you getting what you need from the choices that you're making for what you want? Getting what you need from the choices you're making for what you want. What temporary things are you wanting, and at what costs are they to eternal things? So you see, there's choices. There's daily choices. Now, pretty soon we're going to go through the food line, and we're going to make a lot of choices. And some of them we're going to be really pleased with, and others say, well, I don't know, I need a little more salt. So, you know, but nevertheless, then there's important choices, like not just what you're going to have for dinner, but where you're going to spend eternity, and things like that. And so that's what we're looking at here today. When we choose, we want to beware, and we want to avoid what I may call the gods of this world's grayness. In other words, it's not black or white. This world, the people of this world, they like gray. They don't like absolutes. God's absolute. I mean, you're either saved or lost. You either are sinning or you're not. I mean, it's no in between. And so the world likes to make up a lot of gray, and God's there to give us some guidelines. We got a couple of calves. This is years ago. We got a little farm, about 8 acres. We got a couple of calves. And I've been told the first thing the calves like to do when they get to a new field is to go around it, see what the parameters are, and find their limitations and how far they can go, and then they kind of settle down and start eating. Well, we had an area of the fence that we had not fixed very well. It was fine keeping sheep in, but it didn't keep calves in. And those calves got out. I mean, we just got them delivered, and they got out. They didn't know where home was. And they found the weakness. God's word is not weak. It gives us clear parameters, and we see that even though we may not always like it, it's what's good for us. Black and white is true and false. The world offers, like I said, a lot of the greatness. We see that in so many places. For instance, I like to keep myself kind of abreast of the news. But what I've noticed, and it doesn't matter where you get it from, what you really get at the news, supposedly news, is opinion. And it goes something like this. It could be, it may be, it possibly will be, I think it will, but they don't tell you anything. It's like, I'm anxious for football to start. I'm kind of sad about what the Pac-12 has done, but you don't know anything about football, don't know what I'm talking about, that's all right. But anyway, I'm looking forward to football starting. But the thing is, any football news, nobody knows. They can tell you who's going to play on the team, but they don't know if you'll be injured or not by the time the thing starts. And so the news is opinions. Science is fluctuates. It just is a hypothesis, but no facts. We experienced that the last few years. I mean, the science says we all did this, we all did that, and we get all done. We realize that, well, really, science didn't say all that stuff. So, you know, it's vague. Regretfully, schools sometimes are into propaganda more than anything else. This is disappointing. And then we come to the church. The church should be sound, should be solid, but we're adrift many times. We've lacked our, lost our foundation of truth. We want to be liked, and we're afraid of offending. But we've got to be careful that we may change our methods. And this, having church outside, this is kind of neat, isn't it? Yeah, dude, this is neat. But we never want to change the message about Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so that's what's an important thing we see here. The world will offer everything that you want for now. If you got the money, they've got the product. And if they don't, they'll figure it out. But Christ will offer you everything that you'll need for now and for all eternity. And that's what we're going to be talking about here in the area of choices. And choosing, make sure we're choosing the things that fit into the guidelines that God has given us. Choices will eventually have consequences. That can be good consequences or bad. We always think as consequences being bad, but not necessarily. For instance, Moses took the children of Israel out of Egypt, brought them to the promised land. They wandered there actually for 40 years. And finally, at the end of 40 years, he concludes his writings with the book of Deuteronomy, which is actually a sermon he preached in one day. Now, there's no clock here, and I'm a Baptist preacher, so I can preach as long as I want, right out of day. I was told one church, you preach as long as you want. We all go home at noon, so, you know. So Moses, he preached the whole thing of Deuteronomy. It's pretty long. And so they were there for a little while for that one. But he concluded, which of course it had all the law in it and everything like this. And he concludes it with these words. And he says, all these blessings, and he had them listed. I mean, they were literally listed there on the page. You can go back and see it. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 28. All these blessings shall come unto you if ye shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. But if not, all these cursings shall come upon you. And he had a big list of those too. Years later, when Joshua finally got the people into the promised land, we find that they conquered the land. He divided it all up, and the tribes got their place. And then Joshua had this to say to the people, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Choose. You say, well, I'm going to wait and see. To wait and see is to not make a choice. And regretfully, a lot of people don't realize that we're already born in need. We're already born on the wrong side. You don't like to think about it, but we're already children of the Satan, and we need to become children of God. And so as a result, there has to be a choice. We do not have the privilege of sitting and waiting to see how this comes out. We must make a choice. Then years later after that, Elijah got in a contest with a local god named Baal, and the king Ahab and Queen Jezebel, you've heard of Jezebel, haven't you? Okay. Anyway, they brought in the worship of Baal. It was already there, but they really enhanced it. Basically, they did something like this. If you don't worship Baal, then they're going to kill you, that type of thing, you know. So it was pretty convincing. And so at any rate, it didn't rain for 3 days because God's 3 years, because God says there wasn't going to be rain until he said so. And then Elijah comes back and he says, it's time for you to choose between Baal, which is a false god, an idol, and the Lord God. And the way he put it was this, how long halt ye between two opinions? Sounds like folks today, isn't it? You know, what am I going to have, chicken or a hamburger, you know, whatever. How long falls you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, there we go, follow him. And if Baal, then follow him. So again, choices. So as we're choosing, we want to make sure that we are aware that there's an opportunity for blessings, and that's what we're going to be talking about here today, or there's the choice of maybe the woes that come when we don't do as we should. We see here that We're picking up the story in Luke chapter 6 in the first month of Christ's ministry. So he's only been out there for a while, but he's already chosen out of 12, out of those many disciples, he's already chosen 12 to be his apostles. And so that has just taken place. You can see that in the early part of chapter 6. And now he is there with this great multitude of people. You ever notice how many times the Bible talks about multitude? How many is in a multitude? A whole bunch. So and this great multitude, and probably thousands actually, because Jesus really, really drew the crowd. And this great multitude, we see that in their audience, they're all around him. They can hear a whole lot like today, except I don't know if they had the pavilion, but you know, a whole lot like today. And we see that he begins to speak to his apostles and begins to give them instructions. And so what we're going to look at here in these next five or six verses, we're looking at the instructions that all the people of the world could hear, because there's thousands of them there. Maybe not all the people of the world, but a lot of people. Anyway, and yet he's speaking to the 12. Now, every politician comes along, talks about how he's going to be transparent. And well, how we see how that went. Jesus was literally transparent. Everything he's going to tell his disciples that they need to be doing, the apostles, he let all the world hear too. He didn't do it in a secret. And that's what I think is really neat. So we see the text here in Luke chapter 6, in verse 20, it says, "And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples," and the previous verse tells us that this, they're in the ears of the multitude, "and said, 'Blessed be the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye that men, when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did they their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers of the false prophets." So we see a clear choice here. Blessing? Woe. Blessing? Woe. When you say, well, what's woe? Well, it kind of goes like riding a horse, but it's don't go any further. Stop. The all types of dangers is there waiting you. Or follow the Lord. Come with me and the blessings that will ensue. So we see here, that as believers, he offers us as apostles, the disciples of Christ, we see, he offers us who are poor. Now, this poor may not be actually talking about your bank account, although probably not too many of us have a huge one, but you know, adequate to get along. This poor is talking about is in the things, not just the what you can buy, but the things this world has to offer. And it says, blessed are you if you are now poor, because one of these days you are going to be leaders in the kingdom of heaven. And we took communion just a minute ago. Reminds us of the death of Christ and what it cost him as far as his body and his blood. But Christ is coming back. He's coming back for those who put their trust in him as Lord and Savior. And we're going to be a part of that kingdom. Just think about it. We're going to be taken up into heaven and have that great feast that we were talking about a minute ago. All of those things are for those who might be poor and when it comes to the opinion of the people of this world. As believers, some of us may hunger now. We won't hunger long. We're going to have lunch in a bit. But it's not that kind of hungry. Because it's talking about the hungering after righteousness. It's a hungering to know more about Jesus. What's it going to be like when we see Jesus for the first time? Have you ever thought about it? I dreamed about it. Quite a few years ago, our second son, Doug, was killed, and I had some dreams. What would it be like to see Jesus? What would it be like to see Doug? It was pretty exciting, let me tell you. Pretty humbling, it was deep. And I hunger for that when it really is going to happen. And so what it tells us here is we may hunger now, but we'll be filled with the truth of knowing Christ later. Whereas those that are full now, they're going to of the world's pleasures and things like that, they're going to be hungering for truth and not know it. Just like those that are rich now, and yet they will be in need of later. He also says here, he says, as Christians, we need for those of us that weep now, that we realize that we're going to laugh with Christ later on. We had prayer requests a little earlier. There's some people really hurting, isn't there? And when you're in those situations, it can be scary. I got a email from my or it was not an email, it was a text. I'll make stuff. Anyway, from my sister lives in California. Her husband's in the hospital, half his heart's not working, and that's scary. It's kind of a touch and go type of thing. But you know, one of these days we're going to be with the Lord in our new bodies. Did you know we're getting new bodies, by the way? Likened to His success. It's going to be pretty awesome. But we won't have the heart troubles and things like that we have now. And we see that the weeping that we have, one of these days we are going to rejoice. But when we get to heaven, of course, the first person we want to see is Christ. But then I want to see Doug, my son. And I think there might be some tears of joy that we'll have at that time. Then he says here, I might say, but the people of the world, on the other hand, they're laughing now. They're enjoying all the pleasures of the world, but they're going to end up mourning and weeping when they find out that Christ has come and they got left behind. That's going to be pretty scary. And then he says, for believers that are hated now. We're so fortunate to live in America. We're so fortunate to live here in Oregon, and but the Willamette Valley is probably one of the most safe places to live in comparison to other places, particularly as Christians, because for the most part we're respected. But it's not so throughout the world. There's places in this world that you take your life in your hands to even name the name of Jesus. Here we wear his cross, we wear his name on our shirts and our hats. We pray freely, and it's not so elsewhere. And we see that believers may be hated for the name of Christ's sake. It talked about that a little bit here. It says that they're excluded from by the world, so we sometimes can be shunned by the world or insulted by the world. Name calling. You don't have to read very far in the newspaper to realize that sometimes they call us all kinds of phobia type things, you know. And then there's we're slandered, and many times just flat out told lies that what we do, that's just not so or what we believe. He says, rejoice. In fact, he says, leap for joy. Now, I used to be pretty good at leaping for joy, but anymore, I'm afraid I might not come down just right as we get a little older, you know. But he says to rejoice and leap for joy. Your reward is great in heaven. Did you realize you're going to be rewarded? Bible talks about crowns, even talks in the different types that are available, so to speak. It all has to do with how we're living for Christ now. And by the way, you're not going to strut around and run around heaven showing off your crowns at how good you are. I think the Bible tells us we're going to cast them at Jesus' feet as a thanks, as an appreciation. You died for me and rose again, gave me new life, forgiveness of sin, and now I've, and these crowns represent what? Our life here on earth, and now here is my thanks back to you. And so we find here that there's going to be great reward when it comes in heaven. And then it says that we are in good company with the mockings and the disrespect that we might experience. Because he says that's what the world did to the prophets of that day too. On the other hand, you have those that are loved now. The world loves them. And they love the false teaching and the false promises. You know, there's a lot of promises out there. For instance, peace. Jesus says, peace I give you, not as this world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The world doesn't have any peace. Over Mosne one time, they were asked about peace and what it meant. And the definition was peace was the calm between the battles. That's not much of peace. It's not what God has for us. But for the world, they seem to be satisfied with that sometimes. The problem is they're forfeiting a relationship with Christ. And that can cost them all eternity. With God, we have a clear choice. It's choosing a path of what's right and being blessed for all eternity for doing that. With the world, our choices are vague. They're cloudy. They're ever-changing. They lead down paths of woe and an eternal separation from God. If you have never chosen Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's not a better time than right now. Well, wait, but preacher, we need to be in the church. No. Just right here in your heart. Yes, we're having church for sure. You can pray and say, Lord, come into my life. I still have some questions, sure. But you're obviously the right choice. And choose him now. You can do that. If you've already known Christ as your Savior, then you can thank the Lord and ask him to guide you into a fresher walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you so much that you love us and that you have give us an opportunity to make choices. And Lord, I pray that as we consider the sides, the blessing, the cursing, the blessing, the woe, the right and the wrong, that we would choose you because you are the truth and the way unto the Father. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.